I will bless the Lord at all times. That's quite a statement, you know. It's difficult when you hear sad news to bless the Lord, yet there is much to bless Him for, even in the midst of tragedy and sorrow. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. May God bless this reading from His infallible Word. I ask you, please, just to bow with me for a moment in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee today, and we thank Thee we can say from the bottom of our hearts, God is still on the throne. We thank Thee indeed that Thou dost rule and reign in the kingdoms of men, and Thou canst cause the wrath of man to praise Thee. And we would ask Thee, Lord, that Thou would make our country yet to be a praise in the earth. Lord, speak there this Sabbath day to many hearts. We pray for those who mourn and grieve. O God, in their sorrow, may they seek the Savior. Do bless us now as we turn to Your Word. There are those in this gathering, Lord, who are not saved. And, O God, if left to themselves, they will have absolutely no desire to be saved. Maybe there are some here, Lord, and given their choice, they would not be here. Lord, will You not speak to them? Let Thy power attend unto the preaching of Thy Word. O Holy Ghost, come today and carry the Word of the Gospel into that which is beyond the reach of the human voice. God, penetrate hearts with the truth, we pray. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Thank You for all Your mercies that we have enjoyed here in this visit to the United States. Thank You for blessing me, Lord, and bringing me here, for the opportunities of sharing with men and women as they cried to Thee in prayer. Lord, Thou didst bless me in bringing me here. Now bless Your Word to hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In the verse 6 of this psalm, you have a wonderfully sweet and precious and succinct testimony given by David. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. What a simple way of salvation is set forth in those words. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. That's all there is to it, you know. That's all there is to it. I remember one day, just as I was leaving my home, going away somewhere, a young fellow came up the driveway. I'd never seen him before. I spoke to him. I was just about to get into my car. I spoke to him. And as soon as he began to speak, I knew immediately who he was. He was a member of that sect, that cult, known as the Jehovah Witnesses. And before he got launched into his propaganda, I quickly just put my arm around his shoulders and I said, "Listen, I'm only giving you 30 seconds. I'm going elsewhere. I have a visit to make, and I'm not stopping to talk to you, and you're not going to be talking to anybody else in our house. So this is going to be a brief visit. One question for you. I have 30 seconds to live. How do I get to heaven?" And he looked at me with a measure of astonishment. He says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Look, you've just come on me. You're Jehovah's Witness. I'm going to die in 30 seconds. How do I get to heaven? Now, hurry up." He says, "It's too late. It's too late." I said, "Is that right?" "Well," he said, "there's so many things you've got to do. You couldn't do it in 30 seconds. Is that right?" I says, "I read in the Bible of a man who was dying, and he turned and he said, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And the Lord turned round and said, 'This day shalt thou be with me in paradise.' That didn't take 30 seconds." I said, "Son, you'd need to go and find out the truth." And I ushered him down the driveway, a very despondent fellow. I believe God just gave me the right word for him and hit him where it hurt. And off he went, and I pray God is not a false witness today. I pray that God will have troubled his heart and made him to realize he was a peddler of lies. Made him see the folly of his own message. But that's all it takes. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I wonder, have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? I have no doubt he has called on you. He's calling on you at this moment. He has called on you this morning already. He's called to you through the words of the hymns and psalms that we have been singing. Perhaps already in a meeting in this building. He has been calling to you. Oh, that you would hear today. Oh, that you would hear today. How often in a house such as this, there's a struggle going on among those who are not saved to shut out the voice of God. What a foolish thing that is. What madness fills a heart when it struggles to close its mind, its ears. Going on, and it's going on. Maybe you, young man, young woman, that's what you're trying to do. I don't want God speaking to me. I don't want to hear what he has to say. Foolish. Foolish action. Take care. Hear him. And answer him with that is here. The psalmist, in relating his testimony, is reminded, of course, about those who are not saved. And so, in rejoicing in how the Lord saved him, it's not surprising that we find in the verse 8 him addressing those who are not saved with an earnest cry, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I was looking at this verse in another with young people, and I was saying, isn't it a strange thing that you should be required to taste and see? I can understand looking at something and seeing. But this is tasting, and then, as a result of tasting, seeing, understanding, comprehending that the Lord is good. Quickly this morning, I want to present to you some thoughts based upon this earnest invitation from the psalmist. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let me, first of all, set before you a simple truth. You can never know the Lord Jesus Christ until you taste Him. You can never know Him until you taste Him. You see, most people have a religion that is exceedingly superficial. Superficial. They have never tasted Christ. They have never come into such contact with Him that they have tasted Him. They have tasted. Most folk of a religion, that the nearest they come to Christ is to take His name upon their lips. But their heart is far from Him. How often God complained of that. In Isaiah 29, in the verse 13, we read, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man." Near with their lips, they spoke of Christ, but they never tasted Him. There were men in the days of the Savior's flesh, when He walked amongst men, they handled Him, but they never tasted Him. They never savored Him. They heard Him, but they never tasted Him. My dear friend, you are not saved until you have tasted Christ. You're not saved until you have tasted the Lord Jesus. Following the thought that springs from the word taste, we might add that just as our knowledge of food is limited until we put it in our mouths and taste it, until it comes in contact with our taste buds, so we can never know the sweetness of Christ until we receive Him into our hearts. I was saying to the folks last night, indeed I used this text to illustrate it, up in Winston-Salem. There was a church supper before the service, and you had some notice of this given as soon as you walked into the premises, because the smell of the dishes that had been prepared by the ladies, it was there. In the air, you could smell it. And what your nose told you about those dishes was very encouraging. We walked into the room where the dishes were on display, and we now not only smell, but we saw. And the news was getting better all the time. But it wasn't until we tasted it that we got the full information and the full knowledge of that food. Oh, my dear friend, today, you have an exceedingly limited knowledge of Jesus Christ. An exceedingly limited knowledge. You need to taste the Lord Jesus. If you ever to know Him, are to know Him. In the Song of Solomon, we read this: "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the thorns, among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. See that relationship there? Lovely picture. Christ, the apple tree. The sinner sitting down in the shade of the apple tree and tasting the fruit. That's the relationship that must be formed between you and Christ if you are to know his salvation. You are to experience his saving power. That's what must take place in your life. You must taste the Lord. You must taste the Lord. Oh, how superficial is the religious experience of most people. That's why there's so much glibness about concerning Christ. He is glibly referred to. Because they don't really know him. Once you taste him, once you enter into that intimate knowledge with Christ, that is salvation. And I tell you, my friend, your attitude toward him is an entirely different one. In the gospel, the Lord Jesus has set forth for sinners to taste. That's my task. Bit like those ladies you see at various exhibitions, or indeed the other evening. There was one in the mall sitting outside a shop, her little table, and she was calling on everybody to come over and taste. I understand some dainties. I'd just done more than taste a few dainties. Consequently, I hadn't the slightest appetite to go over and try, no matter what it was that she was offering. But the gospel preacher's a bit like that. The only thing is this, we're not offering samples. We're inviting you to sit down and feast. Feast. The prophet Isaiah was the mouthpiece of the Lord when he said in chapter 55, the verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." That's the cry of the gospel minister. Come, come, see what wares I have for you to freely participate in. To freely partake of Jesus Christ, the sweet meat of heaven, the manna of God. Come, taste. Taste and see. That's the task of the gospel minister. And you can never have the knowledge of Christ, dear friend, until you taste him. Until you taste him. Oh, once you taste of Jesus, you lose an appetite for everything that this world has on offer. Let me quickly come to a second point. Those who taste the Lord Jesus Christ discover him to be good. Good. Now, with most food, not everyone will form the same opinion of it. Some foods people absolutely delight in. And others, they can hardly stand the sight of it or the smell of it. It's wonderful, you know. There's one person looking down at a dish, and they're having to mop up as they just drool at the thought of it. Others, well, they have to turn away lest there be a mopping up of a different type. Oh, not for them. Not for them. But listen. Throughout all the ages in which men have lived, and in which the truth of God has been preached, and sinners have tasted of Jesus, no one has ever complained. No one has ever complained. All have found him to be good. They have found him to be good. We can say of the Lord Jesus Christ that in him is the goodness of God to be discovered. You'll never know the goodness of God until you taste the Lord Jesus Christ. Said this concerning Solomon. She said it to him. It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. She had heard many reports of the glories and the majesty of Solomon's kingdom and court, but she didn't believe it until she came and saw it. And when she saw it, she said, you know, the half was never told me. Dear friend, I wish I had the capability of telling you one millionth of the sweetness of Christ. When I read men like the Puritans, or men like C.H. Spurgeon, men whom it would appear were so touched of God that they had the tongues of angels when it came to speaking of Christ, I wish I could emulate them and speak of him as they did. But I tell you this, great and all as their gifts and abilities were, they didn't tell a fraction of the sweetness of Christ. You can never exaggerate the sweetness of Christ. You can never exaggerate. You see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God is to be found. And it's in him and in him alone that you will taste the goodness of God. He is the one single dish that contains all the goodness of God. For in him are all the blessings of God. You can never taste the goodness of God. You can never taste the mercy of God. You can never taste the salvation of God until you taste Christ. The love of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The mercy of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you will never taste of any of these gracious sweet things until you taste of the Lord Jesus Christ. As food is assimilated into our bodies, so it is by tasting the Lord Jesus that we spiritually assimilate him. We become one with him by receiving him by faith. We are united to Christ just as the human being is united to the food that they eat. I know many of you mourn that fact. Indeed, I've mourned over it myself. But oh, what a spiritual lesson there is there. Think on it. Think on it. Does this not dissolve a great mystery for you? How do I receive Christ? How am I to be united with Christ? Well, God uses this word taste here. You mean it is as I take food and thus nourish my body
If I receive Christ, I will thus nourish my soul.
Yes. That's how it is. That's how it is. We become partakers of Him.
We become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. We become one with Him
when we embrace Him by faith and feast upon Him with our souls. Oh, don't you understand it? Can't you see it? Is it not plain? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Might I just bring two further observations to you? First of all, as the food we eat savors our breath, scents our breath, so Christ perfumes the spirit of those who taste Him. The Lord Jesus said this concerning sinful man, Matthew 15. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. It is said concerning Sodom that the stink of its sins went up heavenward, and God smelled it. Where did their sin come from? Out of their hearts. A man's heart exudes a stench, a stink of sin. We read of Saul in Acts 9 that he, yet breathing out slaughter, the breath of Saul of Tarsus was evil with sin. But when you receive the Lord Jesus, there's a sweetness comes into your life. There's a sweetness comes into your life. Oh, how He cleanses us. How He purges us. How He purifies us. How He perfumes us. Paul the Apostle said, "Now thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." My dear friend, when you taste the Lord Jesus, the sweetness of Him is on your breath. It's on your breath. In the Song of Solomon, there is an image given us that is similar to that which I've just presented. The Song of Solomon, the chapter 4. There is a description given us of the Christian, of the believer. In the verse 12, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices." That's the picture of a believer. A garden of perfumed trees and shrubs. That's what the believer is. Where did this sweetness come from? The Lord Jesus. When we received Him, there was planted within our soul a garden of perfumes. Verse 16 of that chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon reads, O awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. You're blessed, you know, in this part of the world with a wonderful climate that promotes the growth of very exotic plants. Some of them are highly perfumed, sweet, delightful. I envy you those occasions when the gently stirring breeze carries the sweetness of those shrubs into the home. When it does, think of Christ. Think of the motion of the Holy Ghost upon the soul of the believer, promoting the sweetness of Christ in the area in which that believer lives, in their society, in their city, in their family, in their place of employment. This is what is spoken of here in the Song of Solomon. O taste and see that the Lord is good. When you taste Him, there is transferred to your life something of the sweetness of Christ. How good it is to know this grace. Is there something of the sweetness of Christ in your life, Christian? Can those who stand downwind catch in your conversation, in your very appearance, in your actions, in your business dealings, can they catch the perfume of Christ? It ought to be so. For they who have tasted Christ are tasted by Him. He leaves His mark upon their breath. Let me just close with this warning. Opportunities for tasting the Lord Jesus swiftly pass by. So it is in nature, you know. There was an old man in the days of David, Barzillai, an old man indeed. He was a faithful man, faithful to David. And when David's son, Absalom, rose up in rebellion against his father and caused David to flee from the city of Jerusalem in company with those soldiers who had remained faithful to him, Barzillai stayed, but he still was faithful to David. When David, helped of God, recovered his throne, he quite rightly sought to reward the old man for his faithfulness. And he said, look, come live with me in my court. Come live with me. And whatever I eat, you eat. You share in everything I have. Will you come? That's what I want to do for you. Here's how the old man answered. Listen. I am this day 80 years old. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? What you offer me, David, is good. But you know I'm so old now. My faculties are failing. I can't see as once I saw, so that I can't see beauty. I can't discern between that which is beautiful and that which is not. I can't hear as once I did. The sound of sweet voices, they don't convey to me the harmonies that once they did. And as for dining at the king's table, I can't taste food the way I once did. I'm an old man, David. Oh, listen to me, my friend. Listen to me. You're called upon today to taste and see that the Lord is good. There will come a day you'll not be able to taste Him. You'll not be able to taste Him. As there is a natural decline in the faculties of the body, so it is with the soul. There is a day of opportunity in which the Savior draws near, my friend. He draws near, and the sinner knows that He is near. It is a day of opportunity. It is a day as it was with blind Bartimaeus, when sitting by the roadside, there was conveyed to him the news that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, and that man knew today is the day of my salvation. And he cried out. And though surrounded by opposition, surrounded by those who said, keep quiet, he was so filled with a sense of his own need, with a sense of the nearness of Christ, with a sense of the fleeting nature of this opportunity, he cried out all the more, have mercy on me. And he closed with Christ that day. My dear friend, Jesus is passing by. Oh, taste and see. Reach out today. Taste Him today. Because the day is swiftly coming when you will not be able to taste. I say this to every young person in the meeting. Looking around you, you may see people of many, many years. You're senior. You may therefore assume that one day you will reach their age, and there's plenty of time to think about it. There's no guarantee. I wonder what those two wee lasses of 12 years of age thought as they stood at the counter in that chip shop, having placed an order for food. What were they planning? Where were they going? What did they intend to do today? What had they planned for their lives? Little did they know, the time was running out. Don't presume on time. But this day, in the name of the Lord, I proffer the gospel plate upon which is placed Christ. And I say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, may you taste Him. May you not be able to go through those doors and out without reaching out and taking Him as He's freely offered to you. May God save you. May He close with you. Oh, that you would savor the Christ of heaven today and so partake of eternal life. Let us bow in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee today for the simplicity of the gospel. Oh God, we need it to be simple, for we are simple creatures. We're so dark and ignorant. And Lord, even the simplest thing we cannot see, we cannot understand, unless by Thy grace we are made to understand. Give understanding today, Lord. Oh God, I pray that in this house today there will go up a cry, Now I see it. Now I see him. Oh, God, draw sinners to Christ. Lord, save today. Set a stamp upon this gathering. Show that you're here, Lord, in power. Raise dead souls from the graves of sin. Be with us today. Help us to keep holy the Sabbath day. Gather us again in thy house, Lord, and may we be able to mingle our cries for your blessing with shouts of joy at sinners having been saved. Lord, do it today. Do it today. And now may grace and mercy and peace from the triune Jehovah be our abiding portion. Amen. Amen.